Join me in Galatians chapter 5 as we continue our series here of Paul's not incredibly friendly or warm letter to the Galatian churches. They had a distinct issue, and so he's writing, did write, to try to correct that issue. We today may not necessarily suffer with our overwhelming obedience to the Old Testament law. I think we have a pretty fair handle on that, not to say we don't have questions. But as I mentioned last week, there are other things that challenge our freedom, etc., and challenge our Christian faith and our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week I spoke rather passionately about freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. It's an incredibly important topic to me, an aspect of the Christian faith, freedom. As I said, I believe we preachers should have a subscript to our title, freedom bearer through the word of Jesus Christ and through the preaching. We can, through the work of the Holy Spirit more specifically, bring the word of God to bear, and it, in bearing fruit, brings freedom. And I want to thank you for your response to that sermon, or actually thank the Holy Spirit for working in you and response to that sermon. Several of you have mentioned it, even inspired a little bit of the series of music we used this morning at the 9:15 time. And so that just tells me that God is working incredibly in an area where we need to hear. Now, we have another part of that here in Galatians chapter 5. I'm about to read a passage from 1 Corinthians. But Galatians chapter 5, begin reading at verse 13. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, though, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And I'll end our reading there and pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of His Word. The 1 Corinthians passage in chapter 9, Paul writes, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. As I said last week, I spoke of the freedom we have in Christ Jesus, freedom from sin. Through the salvation in Jesus Christ, we've been freed from the burden of sin, the bondage of sin. We've been freed from the laborious, unjust rules and expectations. We've been freed from the guilt of not being good enough. We've been freed from a works-based righteousness. And we have been freed to be all that our Lord desires us to be. But, so that the believer does not fall into the trap of license and believe that we have ability to do whatever we want, Paul here, the Holy Spirit here through Paul, provides a balance, a corrective statement. While I am free in Jesus Christ, I am not free to do whatever I like. In verse 13, we read once again, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Christian freedom is indeed a freedom. And we are free to do and to be all that the Holy Scriptures call us to be. But we do not have the freedom to indulge ourselves or to go off in whatever direction or path we desire. We are rather called to serve one another in love. Now, it might seem quite odd that this is the balance that Paul takes in providing that balance or that corrective to that ultimate freedom statement, that you are free in Christ Jesus, freedom from the law, and you are free now to love one another. Well, at the beginning, that might not seem like a balancing statement until you understand and learn what verse 14 means. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. This "love your neighbor as yourself" being that summarizing statement takes the entire capacity of the law and narrows it down to five words. Because I cannot love selflessly until God first loves me. And as we learn from the Apostle John, I cannot love until God first loves me. And it is through God loving me that I learn to love others. And so if I have learned to love others, and I love others as I love myself, which really means loving more than I love myself, but we won't go on into that, then I have truly given myself completely to the freedom I have found in Jesus Christ. It seems quite odd, but to be free in Jesus Christ means that I am a slave to loving you. Again, it doesn't sound quite like that balancing aspect of the wonderful freedom of which I spoke of last week. I am free to be and free to do, but yet you call me a slave to loving others? Yes. And it goes like this. If I am indulging the sinful nature, if I am indulging the flesh, as it's called in some translations, then my entire interest is inward. My entire love is self. And so I am given to all those things which please me. And if I am involved in all of those things that please me, and I am indulging that selfishness of me, what does that mean I'm doing for you? Zip. But if I understand the true freedom of which I have been given in Jesus Christ, then my desire, myself, I have died to self. Then I am giving up me and putting you at my center. Let's look at the law. The Old Testament law, which these Galatians are challenged with so very much. If they are overwhelmed with following the law, keeping the rules, then they are obsessed with that, keeping the rules. And very little love comes forth. We probably have individuals in our present life or our past lives where we know that they are so obsessed with looking right and looking perfect and doing all the right things and being so overwhelmed with being so visibly portrayed as being right and good that it becomes very rigid and the empathy and compassion and the love finds no place. If I am involved in these obsessions with indulging the sinful nature or following the law, then I am very little interested in you. Our serving others is robbed if I'm enslaved to my own sinful nature. Our service to others is robbed if I'm so overwhelmingly bent on following every rule. Because if I am free to love you, if I am free to love you, then I am freed from all hindrances. I am free to take you as you are. And I am free to love you with your warts and bruises and ugliness, just like Jesus Christ loves me, with all of my warts and bruises and ugliness. So if we get to this point where we understand that the desires of the sinful nature or the desires of the Old Testament law, as these Galatians brothers and sisters were so overwhelmed with, if I am in all of that, then I am not given to the freedom of Jesus Christ. Love is expressed in serving one another. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. But how do we do this? Some of us are quite unlovable. You've run into people. I might love you, but I don't like you. And I only love you because God said so. And he knows something about you. Evidently, I don't. But how do we do this? Because it is an incredibly challenging thing. Just to move from the sinful nature, just moving from the indulging self, we are all incredibly selfish people. We like ourselves. We like our stuff. We like our ways. We like our routines. Don't mess with me. We're all very, very given to that sinful self. So how do I move out of that and say, what you desire is more important? Well, Paul tells us here in verse 16. He says, we can only do that by the power of the Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Only through the power of the Spirit at work in us can enable us to overcome that sin and to fulfill God's moral design for our lives through honoring Jesus Christ. And as we learned here, by loving others. You see, the Galatians wanted to be under the law as a way to gain perfection. But it went so very badly for them. As Paul alludes to here, they've gotten into devouring each other. Arguments, internal strife. The attempt of these Galatians to attain spiritual perfection was torn apart by conflict. They were so enamored and so given to following the rules, they had lost the love and the compassion for each other. Again, Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. What does this mean to live by the Spirit? Another way of saying it would be to walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Paul says here very clearly, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is a lifestyle thing. It's not a checklist. It's not a, I do these things and so evidently I must be living by the, this is a lifestyle thing. Are you motivated? Are you living by? Do you follow the ways, the commands of God out of love? Not of a sense of ambition or a sense of chore, but do I love His commands as David writes, and I delight in them because they reflect God, and as I live to those commands, I reflect God, and if I am reflecting God in my life, I'm living by the Spirit. How do I understand what the Spirit desires for me? Through prayer, through reading the Word, through digesting this and making this holy living Word part of my life. How many of you read your Bible every day? I saw two hands. There's about how many people in here? 130? I saw two hands. I know that's not true. But reading, praying, working through this holy text daily. We were talking in Sunday school about being washed with the Word. Being washed with the Word means I take this Word and I use it to cleanse me, to make me whole, to make me holy. And I gave the example in Sunday school. What if you didn't take a bath for a couple of days? You'd get that pew by yourself. If only I could see you not reading the Word daily. And we can. Living by the Spirit means I take this as Jeremiah, and I eat them. I make them a part of my very being. It's a lifestyle. Walking in the Spirit. Walking is excellent exercise, Dr. White tells me. And I do fair. But I have learned that it is good for me to get out here and take about 6 laps around this church and cemetery. It takes me about 40 minutes. And through that time, it's a time of praying. It's a time that's good for my body. It's also good for my stress. Very good. But it takes that attempt. I have to get up out of that recliner over there, lay the computer down, get up and make that conscious decision that I am going to do this. And I put my tennis shoes on and out the door I go. Okay, the lifestyle of walking in the Spirit is the same analogy, is the same word. I have to constantly, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, make that determination, that decision. I'm going to walk by what is given to me here and learn to live my life in that conduct. Which means I put some things away and I bring some things in. I stop doing this so I'll have time to do this. Some of you tell me I get up so early and I'm so busy, I have only time for 1 or 2 and I'm out the door. Well, we have busy lives, but people do what they want to do. It's just that simple. If you wanted to do it, you'd do it. You want to, you will. It takes effort. Then Paul brings us these two lists. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that all these who live like this. Now, a point needs to be made here. These are characteristics of the wicked lifestyle. These are characteristics of the sinful nature. These are things which one performs, involved with, looks at, spots in others, are testament to a wicked nature. But please notice how Paul terms this at the latter portion of verse 21. He says, I warned you, as I did before, that those who live like this. Live like this. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Living like this is a lifestyle. Living like this portrays a character. Living like this portrays a nature. And if one is constantly involved in these things and sees no conviction, feels no conviction, sees no harm or wrongness in these, then that's who Paul is speaking to. Because those are the ones who live like this, and they will not, because one would very much doubt the presence of the Holy Spirit in that one who is involved in this. But please, as I said in Sunday school, we were talking about this very same topic. Please don't make this a checklist of, I don't know how to say this, of simply yes or no, do or don't. Now, I'm not saying you can go out being involved in an orgy and you'll be fine. But we are sinful by nature. And we mess up. And we fall. And if I'm guilty of one of these, and I'm convicted by the Spirit, then I can come to my Lord and ask for forgiveness, and I am indeed forgiven. I'm not living like this. I sinned. And I'm forgiven. I use the example of adultery. Is an adulterous event an allowance for divorce, according to biblical standards, biblical teaching? Well, I would ask you to be very cautious there. An adulterous event is just that, a one-time event where one has sinned, and if there is confession, repentance, there is forgiveness. That's not living like that. When Jesus was asked, how many times should I forgive my brother? He said, 70 times 7. That also means your spouse. However, if the adulterous behavior continues and there has been desires to change, there have been conversations and counseling, but yet that behavior continues, and the one involved in adultery lives in that style of life, then I believe we move into the area where the allowance, and notice I said allowance, not grounds, allowance of divorce is given. But if we sin, we are forgiven. But it is the living in that lifestyle which Paul is speaking of here. And if these are the acts of our nature, then we are involved in giving to our sinful nature. Now, this is one small list. There's probably 10 different lists in New Testament text. Please go read them all. Because some of the things that our society is involved with right now, which we are deemed being appropriate and right, is very much an aspect of sinful nature. And it is not to be condoned. So how should we live if we are living by the Spirit? How should we live if we are walking by the Spirit? Well, Paul gives us another list. And we know this list, the fruits of the Spirit. It is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Ask yourself the question. I know some of these up here in this upper list are pretty atrocious things. But which one of these would better describe your character? Patient, loving, self-control, joyful, at peace. That comes through sanctification in Jesus Christ. But let's get back to this idea of being free. Tim, you told me last week that I am free in Jesus Christ. I am free from rules and I am free from the burdens of sin. But yet here you are giving me a checklist to do. That seems binding. But see, that's the wonderful aspect of being free in Christ Jesus. We are free to live to His commands. We are free from the expectations of others that they might burden us with. I am free to give my entire self to the commands of God. And you want to find maturity in the Christian life? That's where you find it. By giving yourself entirely to the commands of God. By becoming a slave, if you will, to the commandments of God. Why did David say, I delight in the law of God? Why did he say, I delight in the law of God? Now, he was referring to the Old Testament text, the Old Testament law as he knew it in his day. Because he saw in that, when he followed the teachings of God, it truly brought out the real him. Through freedom in Christ, we are free to be all that He desires us to be. And folks, what He desires for you, you cannot imagine. Your ambitions are not great enough. But yet when we submit ourselves to the loving commands of God and we follow them out of a genuine desire to love Him by being obedient, then we truly find freedom. I can remember years ago sitting in the church pew back there, and I would say, I don't want to be a Christian until I was 35, because I thought 35 was old. 35 is young. But I didn't want to be a Christian until I was 35, because being a Christian wasn't no fun. I'll have some fun, and then I'll go be a Christian, and then it'll just be... There's no way to explain how wrong I was. Because I didn't learn what freedom was, and I didn't learn what fun was until I understood the capacity of working in God's ministry. The things we get to see, the things we get to experience, the actions that happen before us, and we know that only God could have done that. And He let me see it. More to the point, He let me be a part of it. How maturing and how soul providing that is, and how I grow in the ministries of God because I see God working. And all of this is real because I've experienced every bit of it. Tell me how you can lose a daughter at 16 and your marriage thrive. Your relationship with the living daughter, thrive. The relationship with you, thrive. Most people in the ARP church thought I would resign. Because they thought there was no way you could continue. Well, they didn't know God like I did, I guess. But truly, I didn't continue. Not that, Tim. It was a different one. It is a different one. And I believe God allowed, took Marley to make me different. To be here to do this. And yes, it's hard. But it is the most magnificent thing you ever put your name to. Is understanding the freedom in Christ Jesus. You're learning. Because I don't want to be free to do everything I want to do. You know where that would take me? Not good. But free to be what Jesus desires me to be. And I can only do that through the Spirit. The Spirit inside me. You do that through the working of the Spirit inside you.